keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind. Oh no, it's ponderoso. Dope, so no overdose. Cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Everybody, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio Show. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Thank you all for tuning in, and really happy to be back with you. We got a bunch of news to go over. Once again, the elections are coming up right around the corner. On February 1st, next week, I mean, it's going to be happening, and there's going to be a bunch of events going on, and a lot of things to anticipate. We were seeing things heat up here. You know, we've got a bunch of election news to cover tonight. We also have a special guest joining us from 99.net that's going to be talking about a little bit about how music and art kind of influence the activism scene and this, you know, so-called revolution, whatever you want to call it, that's going on right now. All the people that are trying to make a difference here in this world. So we're going to be talking about all that and how it affects us and how we could be even more effective in ways. But we're also bringing you this, you know, hard-hitting news from the antimedia.org. We're going to be going over some of the headlines from today that we talked about all day today on the website. Hopefully you're following that, following the Facebook page, but plenty of things to go over tonight. Make sure you follow us 5 days a week here on UCY.TV. We bring this anti-media radio show 5 days a week at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock Pacific, Monday through Friday. I'm here with my panel on Mondays and Wednesdays. SM Gibson is on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And to be honest, I mean, he has a really great show. And then LeVon has a little bit of a different mix-up on Fridays with a little bit of a different show, but all of them are pretty informative, so make sure you're following all of those. Special shout out to our providers of music tonight, Ponder and XL from here in San Diego, where I'm located and where the Anti-Media is located. But we're going to be covering news from all over the country, all over the world tonight. I got a great panel with me, my longtime co-host DB Schwartz. What's up, man? How you doing tonight?
Hey, Nick, doing well, man. Kind of energized after last night, and you know, it was good to get the pulse of the youth, dude, because there were so many young people at this Sanders rally up here in St. Paul, and also people kind of bringing out a concrete plan about how he's going to go about paying for some of his stuff. And it's totally doable. I mean, taxes are definitely going to go up. They're going to kill if you're making over $250. But seeing as how very, very, very few people are making that level of income now, I honestly don't see how he doesn't get the popular vote. Now the superdelegates may screw him over, and we can talk more about that as the primaries get into full swing. But, I mean, he's got the popular vote because most people up here aren't making $250
plus. Very interesting. So you went to a Bernie Sanders rally last night. Tell us a little bit about that, because I've never been to a – I haven't been to a presidential rally in a really long time since – 2012. I've been kind of avoiding it myself. Now, SM Gibson, the guy who hosts Tuesday and Thursday nights on the Anti-Media Radio, he went to a Donald Trump rally, and you know, he had a few things to say about that, to say the least. What can you tell us, man? What did you see out there?
Well, here's the thing. He's really no frills, whereas Donald Trump makes a production out of it. He just came up, he spewed the typical, you know, I at this point he's on automation level. He's like robotic with the, as far as what he goes about, just trying to get his basic message out there. And you have to kind of go to the people that work for his campaign or read about how he concrete plans to do these things. But it's a lot of energy because I have to tell you, man, like a huge portion of the crowd was 40 and under. Huge. And a lot of these kids understand, they know inherently what we've been preaching, which is robots are going to take jobs over. That's reality. That's not science fiction. These kids know if they go to college and get saddled with debt and can't ever get a job, they're never going to own a home. They're never going to basically have a comfortable retirement. And people know this stuff, and they want Bernie to basically use big government to protect them. So they want the safety net. They want the social security because they know the job market's not going to get better.
It's a very interesting prospect, I think. You know, this looking for you know, government to kind of fix the issues here, and you know, of course, we all know the pitfalls that are involved in that process and stuff. And you know, to me, again, to reiterate my feelings about Bernie, and of course, everyone on the panel tonight, we're also joined by Claire Bernish, who I'm going to introduce in a few seconds here, but. You know, we've all got different feelings about the electoral system and the presidential candidates. But, you know, personally, I think that Bernie Sanders has a fairly decent message. I'm glad that he's a messenger of this anti-corporate democracy message that's coming out now. And his, you know, talking about how the electoral system has been corrupted by moneyed interests and special interests and things like that.
And let me tell you, Nick, he's about to probably get an official endorsement from Black Lives Matter because they were in full force. They were super supporting him. They were really close to us, very, very vocal. They didn't have anybody in the crowd shooken up like you might expect where people are going, oh, they're going to get people uncomfortable. That's not true, man. At this point, the middle and especially the working class, the lower middle class, they're all in the same boat. They understand what needs to be done, and they think this guy can at least, at the very least, this guy can veto certain things if he can get in.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. And, you know, we saw earlier in the process here last year, where the Black Lives Matter activists interrupted a Bernie Sanders rally, and a bunch of his supporters were like up in arms about it, and they're like, oh, how dare you interrupt Bernie Sanders and stuff. But the fact of the matter is that at that time he wasn't really addressing the racial inequity issues in the United States, but now he is, you know. And so, you know,
and he's always been there. He's always been there. That's what people should know. You know, if you want to know what kind of candidate you're getting, just look back at what they were into in college. Who did Hillary support? Goldwater. I mean, that tells you everything, dude.
Well, wasn't she like a Nixon operative for a while too?
Who knows, man? I mean, whatever it is, it's establishment always, people second.
Yeah, and you know, that is an interesting dynamic. But one thing I noticed, you know, pretty blatantly is that, you know, Sanders did have a, you know, he took what happened there in Seattle with the Black Lives Matter interruption of his rally, and it actually influenced his campaign, and so that's a very interesting, you know, prospect.
And just make no mistake about it, he's very pro-Israel. If you're on the fence with that, if you don't think we should be using them as a vassal state or them using us as their protector, that won't change. And it's just not, it's too much of a paradigm shift. But at least he can open the gates for maybe the next generation to take that on. I don't know.
Exactly. And he's also pretty status quo on the empire and stuff like that. And for me, that's a deal breaker. And that's why I'm not supporting Bernie Sanders and stuff. Although, like I said, I like the message that he carries, the anti-corporate hijacking of the electoral system. He's right on that, you know. But, you know, I disagree with him on many other things. And so, you know, it is what it is. I want to bring Claire into this because I know Claire's got some feelings about Bernie Sanders and about this whole process. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about one of his rivals, which is Hillary Clinton. Claire, how's it going?
It's a pretty good day. How's it going?
Really well, really well. I can't complain. We're here in San Diego. At least I'm here in San Diego. I know everyone else on the call tonight is probably not, but we've got really nice weather and it's sunny and there was a nice sunset and stuff. And, you know, so I can't complain about that. However, of course, there are a bunch of other issues going on here that we have concern with. So first off, Claire, I want to get your pulse on this election and what's going on right now. You got Trump leading, heading into Iowa. He's skipping out on the debate. That was big news. You got Bernie Sanders now leading in Iowa, leading in New Hampshire. What do you make of all this?
Well, okay. First of all, I'm still astonished that Trump is doing as well as he is. And then, again, I'm also not, because I think there is a lot of latent xenophobia and racism and bigotry that was waiting to come out in this country, and he's just really given it the green light. I don't think that he is necessarily saying anything new that people weren't already feeling but just were afraid to say, and for some reason now it's like everybody has permission to just go ahead and say it. Which is fine, free speech and all that, but you know what? It's dangerous when it comes into consequences against people of different ethnicities, which it seems to be doing. So there's that. I like a lot of what Bernie Sanders has to say, but I just could never see myself voting for him because of his stance on Israel and for the fact that he has voted to fund several of the conflicts that the U.S. is involved in. And I think that people are excusing an awful lot of that when they say, oh, he's a great guy, he's a great guy, he's a great guy. But, you know, war is causing and driving a lot of the issues in this country and in the world. So, you know, that's no small matter.
Yeah, he voted to fund the Iraq war, you know, and we can't overlook that. And again, because of the Iraq war, that's what gave us ISIS, and that's what's giving Trump a lot of his support now is that he's viewed very strongly against ISIS. And now one of the other dynamics I want to mention here, one thing DB brought up is the Black Lives Matter movement. Is Trump the anti-Black Lives Matter movement? Is he the white? Is he the conservative white answer for the rising of you know racial issues to the forefront of the American psyche? What do you think about that?
I think that a lot of white people misunderstand the Black Lives Matter movement, and really, if they understood better the systemic problems that racism still is perpetuating in this country, they might have better empathy of that movement. And so basically, people who are afraid of the Black Lives Matter movement kind of act on that and leech on to Trump's like fear-mongering. It's almost as if people are afraid that they're going to somehow be ousted by all these other people. You know, I think that's where the anti-Islam sentiment comes in and everything else. I think Trump is giving a green light for that, and I think it's ridiculous. And he is kind of it's like he's David Duke, but you know, he's not necessarily wearing the hood.
I saw a really interesting article over on the Fifth Column, I think last week, about how Trump is more or less the blowback from a bunch of bad U.S. policies, and he's the answer to all this blowback. And one, as I mentioned, it's the whole ISIS scenario and how, you know, all these bad policies over in the Middle East, toppling governments and, you know, creating terrorists. And, you know, keep in mind, like, looking a little further back in history, you know, the U.S. cultivated Osama bin Laden. We cultivated Al-Qaeda. We helped create ISIS, whether through direct or indirect means. I'm not saying we're in control of ISIS or Al-Qaeda at the moment, but I'm saying that, you know, our policies led to those organizations being created. And now Trump comes along with these anti-Islamic campaign components and you know, this Islamophobic rhetoric and stuff, and people latch onto that because of all this terrorism talk and, oh, ISIS, 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 and Al-Qaeda, bin Laden, and all that other stuff that has happened. And then on the other end of things, here on the border, here on the south side of the United States, you got the Trump launching his campaign with this anti-Mexican rhetoric that he spewed out of his mouth, I guess you can call it. I wanted to say something else, but we'll call it his mouth. But you know, that also comes, this white American fear of Mexicans and Latin Americans also comes from bad U.S. policies. NAFTA is one thing that comes to mind here. Bad trade policies, corporate imperialism, and all the regime change that we've done in Latin America, Guatemala, Nicaragua, keeping the Mexican government in our sphere of influence, the war on drugs, all of this stuff, all these bad policies that the United States has kind of supported throughout history, has led to an influx of refugees from Latin America. And again, that's where Trump derives his support from, people that are afraid of Hispanic and Latino immigrants and things like that. You know, Trump gets a lot of his support from people that have those same sentiments. And again, it comes from bad policies. So, I mean, to me, this stuff all comes back to blowback, whether it's our wars in the Middle East, our regime change, or our economic and drug war policies in Latin America. They've all created these Muslim refugee crisis, the Latino immigration crisis. All that stuff stems from, in many ways, I don't want to say it's all the United States' fault, but it stems from U.S. policies, the Monroe Doctrine here in the Western Hemisphere, in North and South America. It really plays a role. I mean, is Trump not a product of what we've done?
Yeah, he is. And actually, I would argue that everything comes down to U.S. policy. It comes down to U.S. hegemony and imperialism and belligerence around the world and the war machine that funds it. I mean, the drug war comes down to that. Our foreign conflicts come down to that. Our bad trade policies come down to that. Everything comes down to American hegemony, in my opinion, U.S. hegemony. So if you look at it like that, then, yeah, of course he's a product of it. But you have to stand back and see, I mean, you know, what he's saying, it is a result of, it is blowback. But so is, you know, Bernie's support for his, it doesn't even fit in with Bernie's other platforms. It doesn't seem like he should be a pro-war sort of candidate, and yet he supported the Iraq War. He supports Israel. I mean, all of it comes down to this war machine. I mean, that's my opinion, of course.
You know, Bernie can go out there and say as much as he wants against corporations and banks and Goldman Sachs and whatever, but as long as he doesn't question the empire, he'll be all right, you know, and he can be elected. Yep. You know,
he's the face of the counter coup. I mean, the banking interests have lost. The military industrial complex has won. People don't understand that Benghazi was the turning point, and that's why Hillary's probably going to go to jail no matter what. I mean, the FBI director said, I'll quit if we don't indict her. And that's a huge blow to the face of our entire criminal justice system if that happens. And she's going to be indicted, man. And the reason why is the military powers have taken back. They lost control in 2001, and now they've taken that back. I don't know what that means, though. I mean, World War III may be off, but does that mean proxy war forever? I don't know.
Yeah, very, very interesting, man. It is. It's going to be an interesting dynamic to see what plays out here. You know, we talked about it on the last show, and anyone listening tonight, make sure you keep up with all of our previous shows, because as I'm about to do right now, you know, sometimes we talk about what we talked about the week before, a few weeks before that. So it's important to keep up on all the stuff that we're talking about. You can go over to UCY TV YouTube channel and catch up on all of our shows. They're only an hour long. We're getting ready to move into 2 hours sooner or later. But for now, they're only an hour long, so you can catch up on our stuff when you got some free time. And, you know, if you're driving to and from work, if you're at home, just throw it on audio. You don't got to watch the video. You know, just listen to what we're saying, because we're going to be referencing stuff here and there from previous shows. Last week we talked about a lot of what we're talking about right now when it comes to Hillary Clinton, when it comes to like this hypocrisy in the justice system, where there's like a two-tiered set of laws. There's one set of laws for the regular working class Americans, where we all have to abide by these laws, and if you're in the wrong state and you get caught with a joint, well, you're going to jail. But you commit war crimes. If you're part of the ruling class and the elite, you commit war crimes, or you commit treason, or you commit major, major felonies like Hillary Clinton has, and you don't get charged for it. And in fact, you get to run for president. I mean, it's crazy. But, you know, now we've got a people in the FBI saying that they're going to quit if they don't, if nobody charges Hillary Clinton with what she, the crimes that she did as Secretary of State. You've got former attorneys, federal attorneys, saying that she should be indicted. But again, you've got this Democratic just Department of Justice under Obama that is reluctant to indict Hillary Clinton because she is also a major, you know, Democratic power player in the Democratic Party. And so it's not very likely to see, as much as the evidence is piling up now. I mean, week after week, it's like more and more evidence. Like, dude, she needs to be charged. She's committed massive felonies here. It's like week after week, the evidence piles up, and week after week, it's like there's no charges being put against her.
She could have put, and probably did put, thousands and thousands of military personnel at risk. I mean, not if it hasn't hit now, it will in the future. Just because people understand now that it was never about what we said it was. It was always about gun running and profit margins, dude. And it's exposed us as a complete empire, dude. It's nothing less than that.
Yeah, and sadly, you know, it looks like we're going to be going back into Libya, possibly, you know, and we may be covering that tomorrow. I'm not exactly sure. But you know, we've got so much to talk about here with Hillary Clinton and what's going on. First, I want to take a caller. We got a caller calling in from 601. Then we also have a special guest tonight from an organization called 99.net that we're going to come to in a few minutes here as well. So first, I want to go to the caller from 601 area code. You're on the Anti-Media Radio. How's it going? You want to join this conversation?
Oh, yes, I'm just listening to what y'all was talking about. You know, it's all true and everything, you know. And, you know, I'm glad I've woken up, you know, to what's really going on and not being distracted.
Hey, well, we're glad you called in. So, you know, what do you think about all this stuff going on with Hillary Clinton? I mean, the email scandal, Benghazi, I mean, God, she's committed war crimes in Libya. Now we're finding out that we're ready to go back into Libya and like send ground forces in there and you know, go do who knows what in that country. I mean, what do you make of this situation? And what do you think of Hillary Clinton?
Well, I think she needs to be treated just like the average, you know, American that commits a crime. You know, they get punished and, you know, go to jail, but, you know, like that top 1%. And there are those who live above the law. And say it is like that, but if the people wake up, they're going to continue to, you know, get away with it. That's just how I feel about it.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you're right, man. I mean, it's one of these situations where, if this individual is not held accountable for their actions, then it's like, well, the whole damn thing is thrown out the window. And I think, you know, that's something that for some people, and I know Claire would agree with me on this. It's like, well, the justice system already needs to be thrown out the window, but this scenario with Hillary Clinton kind of just makes it even worse. It's just so hypocritical. It's like they commit the highest crimes, and it's like, okay, well, we're just gonna let them get away with it. In fact, they can run for president while we're talking about it. Well, on this subject, go ahead.
Sorry. Particularly in comparison with, like, you know, like he was saying, when you look at citizens being thrown in jail for smoking a joint or for treating conditions with cannabis, I mean, or even minor traffic violations and. It's like we have to obey all of these minor technical laws that don't really do anything but generate revenue, whereas the elite get away with actual crimes that affect people and harm individuals, and they get away with it scot-free.
Yeah, it's just completely ridiculous. It really is. And so on this topic of Hillary Clinton, Claire, you wrote a great article today about Hillary Clinton and her relationship with Goldman Sachs, and this is on the anti-media. It's the last story we published today. It's the top story. Hillary's $200,000 per hour side job, and that is a bit of a grabbing headline. And yeah, the thumbnail there is a bit provocative, I'd say. but this is no laughing matter. I mean, Hillary Clinton was making $200,000 an hour from the banking conglomerate Goldman Sachs. And keep in mind, Goldman Sachs, not only do they more or less control most of the executives for the central banking system for Europe, but they've also, as Bernie Sanders mentioned in the last debate, have delivered, what, three secretaries of the Treasury to the United States. They have all of the new, all of the incoming people at the Federal Reserve are from Goldman Sachs. I mean, these people are basically in control of the Western world's monetary system, and Hillary Clinton is on their payroll. Claire, what can you tell us about this story?
Well, first of all, she's not only making $200,000 an hour, you know, it seems like at minimum, but she's made, you know, somewhere around, if not more than $2.5 million in the past 2 years alone. And the thing is, nobody knows what it is that she's saying, because she has this ridiculous contract with such stipulations that, like, the only person who can record it is a stenographer of her choosing who can, like, write notes and then give the notes to her at the end of the meeting. There are no video or audio recordings allowed. You know, she requires to be flown in on private jet, and she can only have 50 photographs with a maximum of 100 people and all of these things. And when asked to tell the public what it is that she speaks about in these meetings, she actually was confronted by an Intercept reporter, and she just laughed off the question. So nobody even knows what it is that she's saying. And when you consider that she's talking to Goldman Sachs and other, you know, big bank executives, who knows what it is that she's agreeing to do behind closed doors that we'll never know about?
Very interesting. And not only is it these speeches that she's giving and making money, but Goldman Sachs has historically been one of her largest campaign contributors throughout her whole career in politics, too.
Yeah, I mean, this is the whole thing is ridiculous. She's obviously a big banks candidate, living the kind of big bank lifestyle, except she's a politician, and yet she wants the public at large to believe that she's kind of represents everybody. I mean, just no, she just does not. It's absurd.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, really. And you know, Goldman Sachs, I mean, they benefited from the bailouts. They're more or less the epitome of Wall Street's influence in the United States electoral system.
Do you remember the hurricane they had there where it knocked power out to Manhattan?
Yeah.
It was probably like 3-4 years ago. I don't even remember now. But there was one building that was fully lit up, and that was Goldman Sachs. And they'd found out because as a result of that hurricane, they had their own like nuclear power plant.
I never heard about that.
So they never go down. They never shut off. I mean, that's what they are. They're the vampire squid of the world.
Yeah, and they're not the biggest banking company in the United States or the world or anything like that, but they definitely have the most political influence around the world. And like I said, they have their roots very deep in the European in the ECB, the European Central Banking System. A lot of the governors of the European Central Bank are former Goldman Sachs employees. I mean, they've got a global reach. They are very political. They're not the best business people. Obviously, they had to be bailed out in 2008, 2009. But they spend their investments wisely. And the argument can be made that investing in politicians is some of the most, you know, some of the highest yielding investments you can make. You know, and they yield thousands and thousands of percentage points in profits when investing in politics, and that's what these guys do best. They're not the hugest bank, but they are really good at controlling politicians. And Hillary Clinton is directly on the payroll, at least as of last year she was. She doesn't work for them anymore. She was doing a bunch of speeches for them. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you got on the Republican side of things, you got, you know, Bernie Ted Cruz, man. Ted Cruz, his wife is a Goldman Sachs lower level executive. He took $1 million loan from Goldman Sachs to run his campaign. I mean, this stuff is just, you know, I mean, if there's any banking cartel that we want to talk about this election, it's Goldman Sachs. And so make sure you check out what's going on over there on the anti-media. Hillary Clinton's $200,000 per hour side job. I mean, this is what she was paid, $200,000 an hour from Goldman Sachs to go speak to their...
Yeah, I didn't include, and I should have, the median income in the country is somewhere around 50-some thousand dollars. So, you know, just that's per year. So just imagine.
So if you're lucky enough to be in the middle class, you got to work 4 years to earn what she would earn in 1 hour, you know, talking to these bankers. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Sounds like a bargain.
It's a bargain. Now that we're here at the half point in the show, I want to bring in a special guest that we have tonight from 99.net from the 732 area code. Actually, I'll let you introduce yourself because I don't know which alias you want to go by tonight. But how's it going?
I'm good. How are you, Nick?
Oh, I'm really good, really good. I'm actually really excited to talk about your organization. And Jaime is here in the studio, and he's really excited to have you on, too. And
Terrific. Tell him I said hello, please.
Hello, I can hear you. I'm right here.
Yeah, he's listening.
Hello. a big hello to DB and also to my dear friend Claire. Hello to you both.
Hi.
What up?
I know Claire's been helping you a little bit over there at 99.
Oh, yes, she has, and we will get to that. Yes, she certainly has, Nick. She has.
So over at 99.net, you've been working on, you know, getting this kind of anti-establishment message out there in ways that maybe not through the typical way that we do it here on the anti-media with news articles and memes and stuff like that, but through a more cultural fashion, through music and art and poetry and things like that. So, you know, what can you tell us? I mean, this is to me, I think this is like so important because I feel like music is really the unifying ingredient that can really make new roots within the population that may be a little bit apathetic, I guess, or maybe just hardened to what's actually going on, or maybe they're already so inundated with the fact that things are so corrupt that they're not listening. But music can really break through. I mean, what have you seen? What have you felt? I mean, I feel like this organization of yours has been growing like really quickly, and it's caught traction like crazy. I underestimated what it was going to, you know, the direction it was going to go. And I feel like it's been way, you know, like way outperforming expectations and things like that. What can you tell us?
Well, I mean, first thing first, I agree in that music and art are both very, very important to life, just, you know, in general. You know, there's a lot of activists, a lot of people out there that are doing a lot to spread awareness. You know, there's organizations such as your own, like the Anti-Media, that do a lot of good journalistic work. But, you know, I'm really working on expansion. Basically the 99 and the website that I developed, it's basically a way to deliver political messages through music and art. And, you know, Nick, I hope that doing it this way will help to get people's attention. You know, I want them to be more conscious and, you know, aware of the injustices and, you know, the corruption going on right now. So That's how I came up, you know, with the whole idea. But I mean, it's definitely it's taken off quite a bit. You know, after I developed the website, I then had to create social media pages to go along with the website. Our Facebook page, in particular, has done exceptionally well. I started up the Facebook page, I believe, at the very, very end of October, early November. And we just recently hit the 10,000 mark. So that was pretty epic. That was an epic milestone for us. So, you know, I keep saying us, so maybe I should go into the people that are helping me, because I'm sure you could imagine that after a while, it got a little overwhelming, you know. I started everything on my own, and, you know, maybe it was just maybe like 2 weeks in that it just really started getting pretty overwhelming, you know, and I'd asked a good friend of mine, Danielle Williams, if she would help me out, and she's really been my right-hand lady in this, first and foremost because she was the first person to step up and really help me out with the project, but, you know, I met her a couple years ago at an event in Philly, and we really clicked. You know, she's a great, passionate activist. You could look up Danielle Williams activist on YouTube, and she's done a lot with this. Like I said, she's my right-hand lady, and she's done a lot to help me out, so I appreciate her help a lot. And then, of course, somebody who's on the phone with us right now, Claire Burnish, and then also LaVon Morales, both who I think don't need any introduction to your anti-media audience right now. I think they're all well aware of who those ladies are. If they're not, Claire is a phenomenal journalist, one of my personal favorites, somebody I look up to a lot. And LaVon is also a great writer for the anti-media, and she also, you know, hosts a radio show on Fridays. So they're certainly anti-media MVPs, but they have definitely helped me out with social media and networking stuff, you know, with the 99, and they've helped me out tremendously, and I really love the both of them. Also, as you know, the website is all about music and art, so the last two ladies that I have helping me out here are helping me out with the artists and musicians that I'm recruiting and getting onto the website. One of them is Evie Katsuyama. She is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant artist. She actually had an art show in the beginning of December that I went to. I actually wrote a piece on it for Derek Rose's media outlet, the Conscious Resistance Network. But all of her pieces are geared toward activism, and they deliver a great message. And I started interacting with her a few months back online, and we were introduced by a friend, and then I met her at the Million Mass March in D.C., and she... like I said, she's helped to recruit artists for the website in particular. And being that she's an artist, that's her forte. So she's been very helpful. Lately, I have been attending a lot of events, you know, trying to promote 99 and, you know, trying to get people aware of it. And she's come along with me. She actually lives in Jersey as well. That's where I'm calling from Jersey. But then the last lady I have helping me out is a musician. Free-spirited, lovely young lady. She lives in Miami, Florida. She's an amazing girl. I met her in the Photography is Not a Crime news group on Facebook. Photography is Not a Crime, it's a media outlet. They've been around many years, one of the longest, actually. But I was later introduced to her by the founder of Photography is Not a Crime, and she's very into freedom of expression, women's rights, and anti-bullying. And like I said, she's a musician. So, you know, she's come on board to help out with the musician recruiting. And actually, I'm going to Miami to visit her in 2 weeks, from this Saturday. So I'll be going down there, and hopefully I can see some of the crew there at Photography is Not a Crime. That would be great. But
that's awesome.
Those are the ladies that are helping me out. Yeah, so I mean, I keep saying our, us, you know, that sort of thing, and that's who I'm referring to. So I love all of them a lot, and I appreciate all their help. So huge shout-out to them.
So you'll be able to escape those blizzard-like conditions of the Northeast.
Oh, Nick, it's terrible. Terrible. It came out of nowhere, 4 feet on Saturday. And it was funny because I was talking with Claire over the weekend, and we were laughing because, you know, we were actually talking about how, you know, you're a California guy. I mean, how often do you really drive in the snow? I don't think you ever have. So... we were just having a laugh about how funny it would be to you try to drive around in the snow.
Hey, give me an all-wheel drive car, and I'll be able to get around. No, I've actually never driven in the snow, though. So
oh, wow.
There's not snow on the road, so.
You'd definitely be in for it, especially if you've never had the practice.
I know.
I'm going to just say it's really fun.
DB's a California guy, too, and he recently relocated over to Minnesota, and I know he's been having some issues out there.
There's no issues, man. You just need all-wheel drive, and you're good.
You just need to know how to do it, like, a few times and be, you know, familiar with it after a couple of years. You know, I mean, we deal with it seasonally here in Jersey because we don't, you know, we have really cold, snowy winters, but, I mean, we have summers here. You know, we have a Jersey Shore, and, you know, so we only get it seasonally, but, you know, I've had my license for, you know, 15 years now. So, I mean, I'm used to it now, but... Let's not talk about the snow anymore. I don't want to talk about the snow. It's all over the ground. I hate it. But, DB, I have a question for you because I haven't seen you in almost a year. Are you going to Free Your Mind conference?
Well, I guess I could.
Oh, I think that'd be a great idea. And just, you know, just to let you guys know, I think all the girls from 99, I think they're all actually going to make it there, which would be great. We're working on it, but it would be great to get all of them out there because, as you know, we're from all different parts of the country, so... But yeah, it would be good to see it happen. It would be good to see all of you, so...
We've got to get Claire out of Ohio.
I want to care for in Peru.
Please.
Pennsylvania.
Peru, yes.
Peru's in May, Peru. Cassius.
Huh?
Peru's in May.
Peru's in May?
Yeah, Peru's coming up already, dude, in May. me and Nick are already...
What?
Oh, stop it. I'm very jealous.
So, hey, let's talk about the 99.net here, and I want to make sure everyone's got the URL right, because on Facebook it's just called 99, but the website is it's the99.net, so make sure everyone gets over there. First of all, I want to know what you have to say about the 99 and, you know, really what the goal is of this site, and then I want to hear from Claire because I know Claire is also part of the team, and I want to know what the vision she has for it. But first, let's go over to you in Jersey. What do you want to accomplish with this site?
Well, I mean, like I said, Nick, I mean, I hope that kind of delivering political messages to people using music and art will help to get more people's attention. I think a lot of the media-related material out there, alternative media-related material that's out there right now is good. It's amazing, but I think a lot of people who are already activists are the ones who are deeply engaged in that. You need the type of quick stuff, and you know this because of memes, you know, and memes, I think, are a good quick way to catch people's attention, just to plant that initial seed to kind of get them to research and then turn a leaf, you know. And sometimes people just aren't going to take the time to read a lot of important information, which they should, but like I said, they need something that's...
Oh, damn, I think we lost her there. We're going to get her back on.
Sorry. Well,
little technical difficulty.
Peru.
Cassius, go ahead, man.
Oh, well, yeah, that sounds like a great idea, man, visiting Peru. Yeah, I feel like I'm at a wall in my, like, vision of what we could do with our efforts, you know, at least my efforts. You know, I want to feel nature. I want to see stars, grow some food. I'd love to visit Peru.
Yes.
I was learning about the history of it.
Well, if we could get 50 people to bring in 10 grand a piece, we'd be set.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
In this economy.
That's the tough part because everyone's on paycheck to paycheck here. While we're waiting for her to call back in, Claire, I know you're part of this 99 organization as well. I know you've got a lot of history with art, and I know from your visit here in San Diego that you're a huge student of music and things like that. I mean, you know, what compelled you to get involved in this, and how do you see it going?
Well, I think that honestly, activism through art and music and poetry and the creative field in general is somewhat ignored, and the 99 gives a platform for that. There are many, many activists who might not feel as comfortable just going out and protesting, or who don't necessarily write for organizations where they're widely seen, but who do protest through art. And I think that this opportunity is incredible, bringing, you know, activists who actually have a message through their art and through their music together in one place, so that they have, you know, somewhere to turn to. And when people want to find something like that, because, you know, music with a message is really important, there's a place to actually turn to refer people. So I think that's really the main purpose of this whole project, and it's really vitally important to the movement, in my opinion.
Very interesting, and I think you're right. It really will be able to expand our horizons, and I think Evie is back with us. Evie, you there?
I am, yes, I'm here. At what point did you lose me? Because I was just going on and on and on, and it was a long while before I realized that I wasn't even connected
at the
anymore.
Just at the very end there, we lost you.
Oh, okay. Well, I know that you were asking me kind of, you know, what was my ultimate goal here with it, and, you know, I mean, there's a lot going on that, in particular, I think the younger demographic should be aware of, because they're the ones that are really going to carry the torch. And, you know, if they're worried about reality shows and their cell phones, we're going to have a big problem. And you know, I kind of did a segue into just, you know, an incident that had kind of happened the other day when I was working. And I was driving through the New Brunswick area, which is where Rutgers University is. And, you know, I've gone through there a million times, and, you know, I've lived in New Jersey my whole life, and there's this one particular bus station, you know, where all the, you know, where all the kids are waiting, you know, for the bus and whatnot. And it's crazy, because I drove by the other day, and, you know, there's a whole bunch of them, like there always would be, but every single one of them was looking down in their cell phone. None of them were talking to one another. Now, 15 years ago, if I would have drove by, they would have been sitting there talking to one another, you know. So we're kind of dealing with a younger demographic that is, like, kind of horribly conditioned to just have all of their attention in these just frivolous nonsense pastimes. I mean, you know, and if they could just take some of that time and put it toward kind of educating themselves on the horrific things that are happening around them, it would really help to make the movement grow, you know, and that's my goal. All those kids at the bus stop that were, you know, had their faces in the phone, that really don't, they're not activists, they're not hip to this stuff, they don't know what's going on, they're the ones I want. I want them. I want to get their attention. I already know that, you know, there's plenty of activists out there that I don't want to preach to the choir, you know. I happen to think this website would be great for activists. I think the activists out there would really, really enjoy this website, and I know they do. I would assume that a large portion of our audience is activists and people who are already aware of this stuff. We always have to remember that it's not just about that. There's a whole world of people that we all need to get on the same page here. We all need to start doing whatever we can to wake people up. And it just got to the point where I kind of just sat back and thought, you know, what's the best way to do this? And I think we all could agree here, and I think we all do, because I've heard all of you say it, you know, music and art is an excellent, excellent way to do that. So, you know, that's my goal, Nick. That's, you know, what I'm trying to do with this project.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the way to do it. And that's what we need, is we need more and more people to be aware of what the hell is actually going on around here. And to be aware of the empire and the injustice and the police brutality and all these things going on, and you know, we got this flare up out in Oregon with the militia, and as most people are probably aware of, there was a standoff last night. One individual was gunned down by law enforcement. Some sources say, some witnesses are saying that he was had his hands up and was giving up. You know, it's hard to say exactly what happened over there, but you know, it kind of highlights the divide here that we're dealing with in the United States. And I want to go back to Claire here, because Claire, first of all, Claire wrote the article on what's going on in Oregon. And also, you've been talking on the show here tonight, because you've been joining us on almost every show about, you know, this polarization of the United States and the activist community in particular. And you know, it's kind of laid bare here in this situation in Oregon, because a lot of the people that were sympathetic to the situation with Michael Brown, Ferguson, Baltimore, and all these police brutality issues are now kind of not sympathetic to what's going on in Oregon, and vice versa. The same people that were sympathetic to what happened with Mike Brown and what happened in Baltimore and with all these other police brutality issues were not sympathetic to what, you know, what's going on in Oregon. I mean, it's just everyone's so divided. But I think music and art can like kind of bring people together, I think, in many ways. What do you think about that?
Definitely. I think that it's really important to understand that we're all kind of under the same thumb, and the details of what we go through aren't necessarily important as much as realizing that it's an oppressor over the top of everybody. You know, all groups, all of us who are not elites, we're all under the same thumb. So whether you agree with the reasons behind the Oregon occupation or not, or whether you agree with, for some reason, the police or not in cases of brutality like Mike Brown, it's not really necessarily important. We need to all see that we have the same problem with the people who are tyrannical overlords. And when we realize that, then we can come together. I think that's, and actually, as you mentioned, I think music is one of those wonderful platforms for that. It kind of lays bare the stark reality of what government has been doing.
Exactly, and that's why I see, you know, organizations like the 99.net as so valuable, is that it can break down these barriers, you know, and that we've got, everyone's got barriers all around them, whether it's through language or through rhetoric or through political party or through race or anything like that. I feel like music can break those things down. I mean,
it certainly can. You got that? Yeah, it can. It can. Comedy. It's going to. In particular, comedy, by the way, can I just say that I think one genre that I think is really going to help with this, Nick, is hip-hop. I mean, we could spend the next hour talking about how, you know, that's why the show should be 2 hours. But you're getting there. I know you're getting there. But, I mean, hip-hop is really, 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 I think, going to be helpful and influential and already has. But I just wanted to bring that up. And if I could, because I know we're getting close to the end of the show, so I just wanted to hit on a couple of things. First of all, Nick, I wanted to thank you. First of all, Ponder's on our website, and he also he does the beginning intro to the show. So I want to thank you for suggesting him, but also Anthony Freda, who's also an artist that's featured on the website as well. So thank you for those suggestions. And of course, thank you for having us on. Claire, thank you for all your help. You're awesome. I'm so happy that I was able to hear your voice tonight. It's been a while since I've spoken to you.
I'm just so glad you're making this project happen.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I appreciate everybody's help. I've had, you know, a lot of people, you know, give me some good advice and stuff, so I'm appreciative of you know, all of it. I really am. DB and Jaime, I love the both of you as well. DB, I hope to see you at For Your Mind, man. You gotta get out there. And for everybody who's out there, one more time, and I know Nick hit on it, he reiterated that the website is the99.net, and it's all spelled out. We actually have an interview coming out, a written interview with John Carrico from The Fifth Column. It's a series. He actually interviewed each and every one of us. The first one just came out, and it's Evie Hammond, and then I think maybe Claire's will come out next. We don't know who's going to come out next, but he did interview all of us, so keep an eye out for that. It's on the Fifth Column website, so again, you could look it up. It's the 99 interview series with Evie Hammond. And we also were on Heat 100. It's a hip-hop radio station out of Philadelphia, and we were on there last Monday on the 18th. So that was good for us, you know, and we got to a lot of people, a lot of call-ins. We got a lot of good information out there, so that was a great experience. And then lastly, I just wanted to do a quick shout-out to Brooke. She is the lead singer from The Masses, and she was a artist submission, or musician submission, rather. And she's been very sweet, very supportive of the 99, and also, and I hope I'm saying his name right, Shanvid, and he is the rap artist from Only Takes a Day, and he does some spoken word, too. He's also out of UK. He liked our tweet about the show this evening, and he's also an Anti-Media fan, so thank you to him. Check out their songs on our website. Again, Brooke's band is The Masses. The song we have featured by them is Mr. Barney's. And Shanvid's band is Only Takes a Day. And the song we have featured on our site is Reach. So make sure you go on and check out their stuff. And we got a lot of other artists on there, too. I could talk all day, but Nick, I'll let you let out the rest of the show. I just wanted to get that little bit out there.
Awesome. Well, yeah, you know, it's really important. I just want to put it back out there. It's really important to support this music because this is our avenue to reach people that we normally couldn't reach through social media and through the radio show. You know, not that many people out there in the mainstream want to sit through an hour of us rambling on about geopolitics and stuff, but they'll listen to some good music. You know what I mean? And if the message can be delivered in that way, you know, that's another avenue to go. And so that's why it's so important to support this music. Go over to the99.net and share the content and the music videos and the memes, and go on Facebook 99. It's all spelled out. It's not numerological. It's just all spelled out 90-9. Yeah. And you can go find it there. And, you know, that's the way we can do this. You know, this revolution, as Cassius, sorry we didn't get to you today, but man, you've reiterated it on the show multiple times here. It's cultural, man. We got to make this revolution has to be cultural. We're going to have to reach across multiple platforms, multiple genres. We got to reach across to people that we normally wouldn't talk to, people that maybe we may not agree with many times. But we're not going to do it with just the few people that think a certain way, and it's only going to be like a few percentage points at the most. We can say, hey, we're all this one type of like anarchists, and we make up 0.2% of the population. We're going to change everything. No, you're not. You're not going to change anything unless you reach across boundaries and make coalitions, and music is the best way to do that.
Can I quickly just say hello to Cassius? I had no idea he was even on this call.
Cassius.
Hey, brother. Yeah, oh, my God. I miss you so much, little bro. Oh, my God. Hello, how are you? I didn't even know you were on here. I was not ignoring you, but also I just wanted to also I was talking with Nick, and I did want to talk about this. We might be able to talk about it another time, but I just wanted to tell everybody, go on YouTube and look up the video "Hip Hop for the World" by KRS-One. He got 14 rap artists all over the world to get together. They're all conscious rappers, all awake. He got them all to come together and do a song. It's phenomenal. And shout out to Red Drama. Shout out to Red Drama too. He's from Finland. He was the last one to go. And a special shout out to him because he reached out to us on Twitter and we corresponded with him a little bit. So shout out to him. But it's a great video.
KRS-One, Hip Hop for the World, awesome video. We were gonna play it tonight, but we didn't have prior permission, but you know, we're gonna try to incorporate more music here into the Anti-Media Radio. Thank you all for tuning in. Peace out. Yo, here we go. Go, 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 go